Hi, good evening. This is your host, Deborah Herman, the mystic medium animal communicator extraordinaire. I am back. I had a wonderful adventure. I went on a cruise and a trip to the Jungle Island in Florida. And I have many interesting stories to tell you about my animal adventures. Tonight, as you know, the topic is animals love to talk, which is one of my all-time favorite topics. I do have to tell you that I did catch a little bit of a cold, so I do have a little bit of a sniffle, but we'll just overlook that. I have my hot tea. You'll hear me sipping a little bit. But let me turn some of this over to you, because this is a live call-in show. I don't want you to be shy. I want to hear all about your animals and your pets, and you can ask me questions about them. And the number for you to call in live is 888-815-9756. Do not miss out on this opportunity to go on the radio yourself and to have a free live reading if you would like. I'm also available to pull a card for you from the Soul Odyssey deck if you don't happen to have a pet. And you're interested in your own soul path, which they're all kind of linked anyway. I firmly believe that our animal companions are here to help us on our journey. And that's why I have, I am totally blessed myself with some wonderful animal companions. I have my dog Gracie, who's a whippet. And when I was feeling a little bit miserable today, I guess I got aggravated because I have this cold and I just don't like taking time to be sick. And she was jumping all over me and giving me kisses and nuzzles. And, you know, they just really, really know when you're feeling under the weather. And that's one of the ways that we communicate with animals, is by their body language and their behavior. And one of the things that is a little bit different with people who are animal communicators, or I sometimes call myself an animal translator, is that we can also hear telepathically in my own language. I don't know how come it translates into English, but I'm able sometimes to hear what the animal is saying in very short bursts, but they speak to me and convey to me thoughts in a telepathic way. And sometimes it's totally uncanny what I'm able to hear from them. It proves to me that we can have interspecies communication. What was really funny is when we were away for the last day, we got off the cruise, and we had some time to kill when we were in Florida, and we decided to go to Jungle Island, and I had given my card to them and said, hey, I'm an animal communicator, and I would love to, you know, anything that's not ferocious, I would love to meet some of your animals. Well, the first thing that happens, as you know, in many tourist types of places, is you walk in, and they had all kinds of parrots, and it's a photo op. So I was standing there, and I'll get to you in a minute, Ken. We have a caller. So nice to hear from you. And this photo op, I walked in, was barely in, and they handed me this huge parrot laying down like a baby. And it was really cute. It was a huge blue parrot, because this place used to be called Parrot Jungle. So they have a lot of parrots, macaws, all kinds of beautiful birds. I have some of them, photographs of some of them on my Facebook. And so after they put the parrot over on a little ledge, I tried to communicate with him. And this parrot said to me, I don't want to talk to you. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't blame you. This poor bird every single day has to meet all these strangers, and he's put in their arms like a little baby, and he says, I don't know who these people are, but he said, I don't want to talk. And, you know, at first I was a little insulted, thinking, gee, I'm different than other people, but No, to him, I was just another interloper who was going to annoy him. And we thought about it later when we looked at the other habitats of the parrots, that he would really have rather been in some of the beautiful cage areas. This happens to be a wonderful place. So actually, I imagine that he is put into a larger environment or aviary when he's not being used for photo ops. And they don't know that they don't like it, but these animals have an internal life. They don't necessarily like being exploited, or some of them like it more than others. But we'll get to that later. So, Ken, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you, Deborah?
I am doing great, except for this little bit of a sniffle, which is just, you know, an annoyance. But other than that, I feel very relaxed, and I got to swim in the beautiful ocean, and it's just amazing. You know how healing water can be.
Yes.
So what's going on with you? It's so nice to connect with you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I just wanted to ask you about my cat, Bertram. He has, I'm not sure what it is, in the iris, he's developed these little spots, and I just wanted to make sure that he's okay.
He is okay. I'm actually, the first thing that popped into my mind had more to do with his teeth. Is he getting on in years?
He's about, he's going to be, how old is he going to be, 5 or 6? Either 5 or 6, I can't remember.
Well, that's not too bad. You know, cats can have they have 9 lives, as they say. So he can live a very long time. Have you checked his teeth lately?
No, I have not. So he needs to have them cleaned, huh?
I have never been one to clean a cat's teeth, but he may have some kind of annoyance or something going on in his teeth. I'm feeling like either a tartar buildup.
Okay.
Cats, of course, don't really enjoy that kind of thing. No. I don't feel that it's anything really, really bad, but I'm seeing where if it's not taken care of, he could wind up losing a tooth in the back.
Wow. Okay.
So maybe, so next time, yeah.
We'll make sure that I take care of that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. I'm not concerned about the eyes.
Okay, good.
He's now, as I remember, he's Siamese. Is he Siamese?
He's actually, he's an Oriental. He's an Oriental. He's all gray, and he's basically a Siamese, yeah.
Is it possible that their eyes can change color as they age?
Well, that could be. I don't know. I've never encountered that with my previous cat, but who knows?
I'm not feeling that there's anything really wrong with his eyes. But I know how much you love him, and I know he's your baby, and
yeah.
I know that he's probably the center of your universe. You know, so certainly if you have any doubts, check it with your vet, and also have your vet look to see if there's anything going on with his teeth, and let me know about that. And watch if he does any drooling.
Okay.
That'll be an indicator of something with his teeth, his back teeth.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Well, so you're fully recovered? You're feeling better now?
I am working on it. You know, everything is
day-to-day.
Day-to-day, day-to-day. That's why I get annoyed if I get things like head colds, you know, after what was through. It just doesn't, it's like, no, I don't have time for that. I just went through all this other stuff with surgery and all this, you know. But the trip and the visit to the animal sanctuary was really relaxing, and it was a joy. And I'm going to share with our audience a little bit of my adventure when I was there, because if anyone is in Florida, you have a chance to go to Jungle Island. It's a very different kind of place. It's a sustainable island, self-sustaining island, right in the middle of the city. And it's got a lot of foliage and beautiful gardens. It's got all kinds of representative species. And from what the VIP of the back, they give you a backstage tour for certain people. And from what he was telling us, they really try to give the animals almost the run of the place after hours. So that they are not, so that it's not a typical zoo in the sense that they're all confined and miserable. And I do have to say, with the exception of that one cranky bird, they were all very, very happy. You know, but birds can be cranky on occasion. One of my very first experiences as an animal communicator was trying to tune into it was a seagull at Cape Cod. And that little bugger said to me, "I don't like you, and I don't like people. Go away." And then he dive-bombed our food. So seagulls are not
necessarily... I don't like you, but I like your food, huh?
Exactly, exactly. You know, they're not always the most friendly creatures. So it's interesting to learn about their different perspectives, just like not all people are nice.
That's true.
So I still send them love and say, okay, I won't bother you. I won't, because when they know that I can hear them, it probably is a little bit disconcerting. And sometimes it's like, hey, don't tune in to me. On the other hand, I've had horses come up to me and say, "I know you can hear me, and I got something to say." And it's been really funny. And my girlfriend was with me. It was at an expo, and they had these big Clydesdales. And this one was laying down, and she nudged me with her elbow, and she said, "Hey, look at this." And all of the horses from either side were staring at me. And this one horse said, "I know you can hear me." And he said, "I don't like being here. I don't like people looking at me. I miss my trainer, and I want an apple." And it was, you know, again, it was like disgruntled. But then the horse next to him stood up very proudly and said, "I love my job. I really love when people look at me, and I love being a because they were like the Budweiser horses. You know, so they run the gamut in personality. Isn't that fun?
That's really neat. Yeah. Well, listen, Deborah, I'll let you get on with the show. I appreciate the information you gave me, and you take care, and we love you.
Well, I love you, too.
All right.
So, back to Jungle Island, and... when we met with this man, he is a very interesting character. Again, if you're in Florida, I really recommend that you go to Jungle Island. It's well worth it. And we were a little tired, so you may want to pace yourself. It's not that large, but it's got a lot of different parts of the sanctuary with different species. And he explained, as I was saying, that they do give a lot of the animals the run of the place in the evening. They put them on harnesses, and they literally let the monkeys or the primates jump around. And this man, his name is, I don't know. I have to find out, and I will post it on my Facebook. And I don't know if it's Ryan Jacobs or Jacob Ryan, but he and his mother foster primates from all around the world. And the reason they do that is that some of them become orphaned, and they raise them and bring them during the day to the sanctuary, and then at night they bring them back, and they become like their children. And it's an amazing thing, this son and mother. And he explained to us that even though the primates are so close to being human, that they do operate a great deal from instinct. And so you really don't want to be in the cage with them. Even if you, maybe the trainer, but they won't know that they won't know their own strength. And then they'll feel remorse after they've hurt you. So my communing with them was certainly from a distance, because I am smart enough to know my limitations, and I'm smart enough to know that I will not get into the cage with ferocious or potentially harmful animals, even though I'm able to tune into them at times. But one of the amazing things that happened is he said, let me introduce you to three of my favorite friends. And he introduced me and brought me right into the pen with three massive tortoises. Each one had to be 150 years old. And they're Aldabra tortoises, and they're from the, I think it's pronounced Seychelles Islands. Not quite sure where that is, but these were certainly amazing tortoises that we don't see, at least where I live in the Northeast. And excuse me. And so once I got into the pen with these tortoises, I felt an overwhelming sense of reverence. And I had been dabbling a little bit from creature to creature throughout, but I wasn't really sensing a deep spiritual connection to any of them. But when I got in with the tortoises, it was absolutely amazing. And I felt this deep reverence and love and connection with all three of them. And the VIP person showed us, he showed us how they stretched their necks out and how to rub the neck of a tortoise and how much they really, really love it. And what was comical is that everybody thinks tortoises are so slow, but one of the tortoises took a liking to my husband and was chasing him all around the pen, because, and my husband was saying, why is she doing that? I think it was a she. I'm assuming it was a she. And the curator said, she wants her neck rubbed. It's as simple as that. But it was just so comical because they're huge. And you know that they're 150 years old. That's not their full lifespan. They can live to be 250 years old. And they're just so ancient and so amazing and so beautiful. And to have them stick their necks all the way out so that you can just rub underneath and play with them is a transporting experience. But what happened is, as I was leaning down, and I wish I remembered her name, and I will find out, but as I was leaning down with one of the tortoises, I heard very distinctly, I'm not feeling well. And I was taken aback, because as an animal communicator, anytime you hear such a strong message, you always question it and turn it upside down and say, gee, did I create that? But she said it again, and she said, I hurt. Now, of course, if I were 150 years old, I would probably be hurting. But again, their lifespan is so long that it is something to be concerned about. And she explained to me that it was her back legs. And so I said to the man, I have to tell you what I'm hearing. She's just told me she's not feeling well. And he validated it and said that the very night before, she was with the vet, because he's very in tune with all of the creatures and the animals and all different types of species. And he said something just wasn't right. So I did some energy work on her to try to give her some comfort, because it's probably like an arthritis. But the good news is, she was able to tell us where it hurts, because it's not easy. It's not like with a dog, maybe you press an area and they yelp. It's not the same thing with a humongous tortoise. So it was a very, very rewarding experience, and I felt like I had done my job and that there was a reason I was there and that I was able to help her, because she was telling me that she didn't think she had more than 20 years. And at first I thought, wow, that sounds like a long time. And then I realized, no, that's not a long time for their lifespan. So I told the curator, watch her. And now that they know that there's something amiss, they can watch her and make sure that she's fine. And that she, I mean, it's in God's hands, but at least we know that she's, I learned that she was very aware of what was going on in her own body and was grateful that someone could hear her and convey what her pain was, where it was, and help her. So, again, it was an interspecies miracle as far as I was concerned, and it made me truly love the fact that I have the gift of animal communication, because it's an important thing for us to understand the consciousness and spirit of all living things. And it's amusing and fun, but it's important because we're not the only species with consciousness. There's spirit and consciousness in all things. I mean, we can even look at the mineral kingdom. But for all of, for anything that is sentient, they have an inner life. Now, this is live call-in. I appreciate, Ken, you calling in. Our number here is 888-815-9756. Help me out here. I do have a little bit of a head cold, so call in. Tell me your animal stories and your animal adventures, and if I can answer any of your questions, I will. Or if you would like a reading with the Soul Odyssey deck, I'm happy to do that for you as well. And later, when we were at one of the ports on our trip, I met a bird who just sat really close to us for a good 20 minutes. And he looked kind of like a duck, but he had a, but I'm not sure what he was. I have a photograph that I'll post. Maybe someone can tell me what kind of creature this bird was. But when I tuned into him, all he said was, tell your friends I'm a good bird. And I thought, boy, that's kind of funny. But that's what he wanted to convey. I'm a good bird. Sometimes what they convey is really just very simple and very funny. And nothing that is earth-shaking, except for the fact that we're having interspecies communication. And that somehow he was proud of himself and wanted to convey that to other people, that, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm alive, and I can connect with you. I'm not just, I'm a real being. And it was very, very, very cute, because it sat with us for a good 20 minutes, just ruffling its feathers. I saw another very interesting thing at the jungle island. There was a cage. I wish these creatures were not in a cage, but there was a cage that had two peacocks, a female and a male. And I'd just never seen this before. I think it was a mating ritual. But the male peacock, of course, had its plumage completely out and gorgeous. And it, I didn't even know that peacocks can control their feathers the way that this one did. And the girl peacock was basically playing hard to get and totally ignoring him. And he kept, like, cupping the feathers forward and shaking them with this force. And it was truly amazing. And I must have watched it for a very long time. And what was really comical, of course, is that the female just, I think she was saying, you better put a ring on it, because she was not giving him the time of day. And she might have been bored because it was the only two peacocks. So they were sort of forced in together. So, but that was really, really fun. And let's see, I got to sit in a pen with kangaroos, and they all sat on my lap, and they're absolutely adorable. They didn't have a whole lot to say. They were more emotional and just physical. And they put their little heads on my lap, and it was just so much fun. And then, of course, I went into the petting zoo, and a warthog ate my shoelaces. Somehow, I think petting zoos can be dangerous for me. I've had experiences where I was in a petting zoo, and a little calf told me that it was aggravated because it was hot out and it was sick of all the kids. And then it told me not to eat meat, and you know, that's a personal thing. It's a personal choice. But I thought, no, I made that up. And I asked it, did you really say that? And that little sucker bit my thumb. So sometimes I don't think I have the best luck in the petting zoos, because I think that they're just, you know, they get very overwhelmed by all the people. So I may just have to go and visit some private farms so I can have my fun and play and not be with animals that are actually burned out. 888-815-9756. And I'm looking forward to you calling in. Don't be shy. I know that some of you just cannot stand the idea of your voice being on the radio. But you will find that after the first time you do it that it's really, really, really fun. Nothing to it. Just imagine you're talking on the phone. So what else happened? When I got home, my dogs were so happy to see us. Dogs are so emotional. And they were just crying and crying for joy that we were home. And then one of the dogs is a little bit more dog. The other one is a little more cat. And after a while, after she couldn't get enough affection and attention, then she would start being a little more, I guess, aggressive, and it would try to lick me but also try to nibble on me. And so she's just all emotion. And the other one plays it very cool. And sometimes she'll even sulk and not want to engage because she's annoyed that we were away. So 888-815-9756. Call in and let me know if you want a free animal reading or if you want a reading with the Soul Odyssey deck. Find out how your spiritual path is doing and learn some things about your own soul journey that can guide you. And especially this, there are many difficult things happening in the world right now, but we can maintain a very, very positive perspective and make sure that we keep our thoughts in alignment with positivity and with spirit so that we don't succumb to negativity or all of the thoughts that are in our heads that bring us down. And that's why I think it's good, if you're not allergic, that's why I think it's good for people to have animal companions, because they are like little angels and they're very in tune with how we feel. And they are very willing to connect with our emotions and to teach us things about life and about relationships. And I particularly, I don't know if I have a favorite animal. I'm beginning to think I want a tortoise to live in my house, but I live kind of suburban, so I don't think that would be a great idea. But they don't eat much. They do eat. They are vegetarian. But they're so huge and ancient looking. It's just phenomenal. And Of course, their hugeness does mean that they need someone to clean up after them, just like as if you had an elephant living in your house. So as much as I would like to, I don't think I'm going to have a tortoise living in my house anytime soon. It was very interesting to meet the orangutans because, I hope I said that correctly, because they are so intelligent. They are incredibly intelligent. And they figure things out. They use tools. They manipulate just like children. It was really, really funny. There was an orangutan that was in a really, really nice environment. And what he would do is he would block the water so that it was being wasted. And basically what he had done is he had trained the trainer to get him to stop. And in order to do that, she had to give him a treat because he liked getting candies. So he would purposely jam up the water and she would say, "No, no, no." And she'd give him a treat and he would unjam the water. So I'm telling you what, who's training whom? I definitely think that the primate had the upper hand in that situation. And it was really cool because, excuse me, I'm not contagious over the airwaves. They would give them frozen treats and the orangutan would open it up like sort of a vitamin water container with juice, and it was frozen and it had fruit in it, and it would open the lid, very dexterous, and this particular guy really just wanted the grapes, so he would just rip all of the treats open and get the actual fruit and then leave the frozen stuff. But I guess that's what he liked. And I wasn't going to argue with him. His head was humongous. It was like three times. I can't even describe to you how big this guy was. But at this particular place, they had a very interesting experience. They had an orangutan that was born with cerebral palsy and Down syndrome. And her name was Millie. And she lived about 4 years. And you could see from her photograph that she had Down syndrome. And she was a phenomenon. They were able to learn so much about those diseases, through her, while she was alive. She just didn't have a long lifespan. And she also, because of her story, she was able to single-handedly help them raise money to keep these beautiful primates from being on the endangered species list. So, I mean, it's extended their expectancy for at least another 10, 20 years. But it's a very, very compelling story about, and it just shows you how close we are in DNA. Some of you may want to question that. But it's the facts are facts. And this species of creature is just phenomenally aware and intelligent. It was a pleasure to meet them up close. And they also had a beautiful liger, which I guess is a leopard tiger or something like that, or a lion tiger. And I will tell you, if there weren't bars between us, I was very tempted to cuddle with it. But I know that big cats like that probably look at us and say, "Ah, lunch." And then they would eat us and feel badly later. Although this one does have a trainer and they've got photographs of the trainer working with it and it not harming. I just don't know if I would really trust that because It's big, and it's really gentle. And animals, wild animals, have instincts. Even though we can commune with them and communicate with them, they do have to operate from who they are. And we can't necessarily always anthropomorphize them and interpret them through the eyes of human existence, because they share our world and have much to teach us. And I love all living creatures, but they aren't us. Thank God for them, probably. But so, you know, you do have to be a little bit careful. They're not always going to understand our intentions, and they're not always going to listen to what we want them to do. That's for sure. So anybody want a free pet reading or Solasi card, or to tell me about their experience with their pets, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Hi, Aurora. How are you? Can you hear me, Aurora?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. What would you like to talk about tonight? Why don't you give my voice a break and tell me a little bit about your experience with your animal friends?
Well, recently my dog Blackie passed away from stomach bloat on May 27th.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then I adopted Valley, which is a shelter dog from Tennessee. And
well, I absolutely think that Blackie had a lot to do with you finding the new one. Do you find that there are similar traits?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, absolutely. Blackie had a lot to do with you finding this new companion, because there are certain things that you like in a dog companion, and you're very engaged with them, and you like a certain amount of intelligence. And just like with human beings, dogs, even though they're all emotion and they're wonderful and amazing, some are more intelligent than others and more in tune and intuitive than others. And I think that this dog, though very different from Blackie, and having its own personality, etc., and a new relationship with you, I think this is one intelligent dog. Am I right?
Yeah, but I can tell that she's been very abused before. They don't know where. They found her in a garbage dump on Valentine's Day, and they sent her to a shelter, but it was a kill shelter. So another shelter got her out, and they were closing. So Double Dog Rescue got her out and shipped her to a foster home in Pennsylvania. And I could tell that, like, you can't. She doesn't like elbows, so to me it's been obvious that she's been elbowed, and at night when she's sleeping in the bend of my knees and I go to turn, she'll snap in the air, or when she's sleeping at night, she'll have a night terror, and she'll wake up and she'll growl and snap at the air, and, you know, I'll try to hold her face and say, oh, the hand is so soft, I love you. And she, like, looks around and realizes she's home, but she's still a little bit of afraid. And I've had her now for 6 months, and the night terrors are going away less and less, but I feel kind of bad for her. I don't know what to do.
There is an expression, let sleeping dogs lie. And I have this with my rescued dog more so than with my Whippet, and the Whippet is just they have a certain type of personality, and she is the most loving dog, an amazing dog, but if I go to pet her when she's asleep, she won't know it's me, and she'll growl and snap at me. And, you know, she was really little when we got her, so I don't even know that she had that much time to have gone through any abuse. She was fostered as soon as they found her. So in some ways, you know, in some ways, now your dog is called what? Valley for Valentine?
Yeah, she was rescued on Valentine's Day. They found her on Valentine's Day.
She is absolutely going to, yeah, she's going to continue to calm down. She loves and adores you. And don't take it personally if she gets a little edgy if she's fast asleep. That's why they tell you don't ever go in front of a dog in its bowl. Because they are, as I was saying, you know, dogs, we try to make them little people. But sometimes they are dogs. And they have instincts.
Yeah, I try to make her little person, yeah.
I know. I know, and it's wonderful, except
I have
every
a friend
so often.
Here, Jane, and recently she lost her bird, her cockatiel, Grady. And then the same day Grady died,
lost
a woman
as
called
in
her,
it disappeared?
Said that or he her did. Pair of cockatiels rejected their babies. And one of them was born hatched that day, and they asked Jane if she would take care of it. And she did for about 3 weeks, and then the baby died. And she was really brokenhearted because she didn't have time to grieve over Grady because she was nursing this baby bird for 3 weeks. She wants
now,
to know how Grady's doing.
Grady was a cockatiel.
Correct.
Now Grady died?
Yep, Grady died, and then that same morning, a baby cockatiel was hatched, and a woman in town asked her if she would take the baby cockatiel and try to nurse it. But she did for 3 weeks, and then the baby cockatiel died.
Oh, that poor thing. Now, I do feel that Grady is perfectly fine and happy, and they go, you know, they know where they go. And it's very beautiful where they are. You know, we can't even imagine the colors that exist on the other side. It's beautiful. And there's a kind of a universal consciousness for birds. You know, it's a really nice existence for them. I'm actually thinking that it would be great for her to hand raise if she can and wants to make the commitment because it's a very long-term commitment. But I think she would really do well to hand raise a parrot. She thought about it?
Oh, a big parrot? Have you thought about that?
Or a medium parrot.
Yeah. That's a big responsibility, yeah.
It is. But does she have children?
No, she has two more cockatiels at home, and she's got a cattle dog.
Cockatiels.
Yep, two cockatiels at home.
So
and they
she's
fight
not
in
without
mid-air.
Birds. She's
Excuse
not
me?
Without birds. But I think
she's not
it would
without
be
birds,
fun.
No, she has two birds at home still.
But I think it would if she decides she wants another. In my opinion, I would have her hand raise a parrot that can talk. Can her cockatiels talk?
Can they talk?
Grady did.
Grady did, the one that crossed over. He talked.
All right. See, I think she would really enjoy that. And I just picked up on a talking bird. So I don't know if cockatoos are better able to talk or they're, but I think that if she decides to bring in a new bird, that it would be a fun diversion for her to raise a bird that can talk.
Because
wow. I feel like she gets sad. I feel like she gets sad sometimes. I feel like she gets
sad
sometimes.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
So I think that it would be really great for her to have a little talking bird companion. So just have her keep it in mind. We do have two other callers, but I'm so happy you called. And I'm going to see if I can get a few more in before the end of the hour. Watch okay. for the Animals Love to Talk, because we do that at least once a month. And
okay.
have her let me know if she gets a talking bird.
Okay. All right, Debbie, I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Kate from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm awesome.
Hi, Kate. Kate, let
what
me
can
say,
I do
you
for
had
you?
Been on my radio. You had been on my radio show before, so I just wanted to. But you had been on Moon Moo and You before, so
I have.
I wanted, yes, and I wanted to let you know that Ulysses, my golden retriever, had a very major illness where he almost died. He was diagnosed with cancer, and there's somewhere along the way during. Being given that diagnosis, I defied the diagnosis, and I just basically wasn't going to cave into it. So was led to do all kinds of different wonderful things that each step along the way, he got his strength back. He almost hemorrhaged to death, and we found this beautiful herb to stop bleeding immediately that was used by the Vietnam War, the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. It was called Union Bayon, and it was little vials of this herb were found on the North Vietnamese, and it saved many, many lives during that war. So we used it on Ulysses, and it stopped his bleeding, and he was able to get his strength back, and he did. We took him to this beautiful grotto, which is like the Lourdes of France, but it's in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And he communed with Guadalupe, and she did some amazing healing on him. We took him twice. The first time he hadn't peed for 4 days, had not urinated for 4 days, and then he jumped out of the car, ran over to a snowbank where the Guadalupe mosaic was, a beautiful mosaic of her, and he immediately peed. And then
that's great.
We took him back about a few weeks later, and he actually laid down and lifted his leg and exposed his tumor to the mosaic. And 4 days later, he was able to successfully have surgery to remove the tumor completely. And the vet did a urethroscopy to reroute his urinary system. So he healed almost miraculously from the time of the surgery until now. And I just wanted to let you know, just give you the story of...
Mm-hmm. How can people ever doubt that their, you know, prayer and intention, and you used alternative remedies and healing? I think it's a fabulous story. Maybe you should post it on my page. I think my...
I'd love to, yeah. I mean... It's a longish story because of all the different things we used, but I would love to. Yeah, it's a great story.
The great thing about it is it gives
people hope. It gives people hope instead of all these devastating stories. You know,
you have to also trust your intuition and listen to the animal. And don't give up. You gave him a lot of love and a lot of. You trusted your intuition. That's really wonderful. You know.
Thank you.
So please do share that on my page. You guys, you can't wait till the end of the show. I've got two more people. I love talking to you. If I don't get to you tonight, I will take another caller at least. But if I don't get to you tonight, make sure you tune in next week and call in. And if you can always ask about your animals. Or you can get a card reading. And, Kate, it's so nice to hear from you. I'm going to go now to Jennifer.
Please do. Thank you, Deborah.
God bless. Jennifer.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi there. What's up?
Well, basically, I have two cats, and I recently moved from New York to the Columbus area. And, of course, this was a big thing for them. They seem to be settled in well, but my concern is that we just added a dog to the family.
And are you keeping them... You're keeping them inside?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, that's great. And is there one with a mustache?
The dog kind of has a mustache.
But no mustache cat?
No.
Is there a black and white cat?
No.
Who am I picking up on? I'm picking up on a black and white cat with a mustache.
Probably my mom's cat, Mikey.
Okay. I'm seeing Mikey really strong. Were you close with Mikey at all?
Yeah, oh, actually, you know what? You probably are seeing Josie. She's passed.
Okay.
She was my black
so
and
Josie's
white.
On the other side. So
yeah.
Out of the corner of your eye, you might see Josie on occasion in your house, and it'll make your other kitties a little bit freaked out, you know.
Okay.
Because they can see spirit cats, but Josie is still with you. And what is your specific question about the two that are now relocated?
Well, with this upheaval and the move, we added a dog to the family a month ago. So they've been in their new home for 6 months, and they've had this very energetic one-year-old Jack Russell mix added in. My concern is that they don't feel comfortable in their own home anymore.
You know
and
what?
I want to make sure that...
They'll totally get over it, and they're certainly not going to let you think that they're okay with it. They just won't. But as time goes on, and if you're not there, I bet you they even play with the dog.
Well, they're separated right now by a baby gate because I'm just afraid that the dog's too rambunctious.
Well, but the dog will, you know, you love the dog. You love the cats. The dog will calm down eventually. And I wouldn't be so worried about the cats. Their noses are out of joint because cats like being the kings and queens of the house. But dogs amuse them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They really do. Dogs amuse them. And so, you know, even if they look like they're protesting, they're not unhappy.
Okay.
I don't see that they're unhappy at all.
Okay, well, thank you.
But does one have a little bit of dry skin?
Probably. One of the cats? Yeah. Buster.
Okay. Maybe add a little bit of fish oil or something to Buster's food.
Okay.
Yeah. And that'll take care of that.
Okay, sounds
good.
Otherwise,
you're developing a very happy home. And don't let
the cats
bully anybody.
Because
they will. All righty. Love ya.
Love you too. Thanks.
Okay. Tanya, if you can make it in 1 minute, I will get you in. Otherwise, feel free to call early, early, early next time. What's your question?
I'm happy to do 1 minute. I just wanted to see what you're picking up. We adopted some new dogs this year, so.
Uh-oh. Lost ya.
Did you lose me again?
What is your question?
We adopted some new dogs this year and lost a couple last year. Just wanted to see how they're doing.
The ones that are gone? Or the ones that you have?
The ones that we have are pretty good, I think. I'm looking more for the ones that we just lost last year. We lost a couple last year.
Was one kind of like a golden?
I had a white shepherd, I guess it would kind of look like a golden. It was a white German shepherd.
Like a floppy, cuddly, big dog.
Yes. Yes, that dog was a couple years ago.
Did not want to leave.
I'm sorry, what?
But had to.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That dog got hit by a car.
Did not want to leave. And that's a terrible tragedy, and I'm very, very sorry for you. Because you can never be prepared for that kind of loss.
No.
And but
it was a
the
few
dog's
years ago.
But the dog's
sorry?
Energy reminds me of like a very loving golden.
Oh, absolutely. Very protective of the kids too.
Yeah. And then the one you lost more recently.
Mm-hmm.
What was that one?
A little Yorkie.
Oh. Well, did I hope it died of old age, but I'm feeling like it didn't.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure. I think she had a stroke or a heart attack, but she was kind of old, yeah. And then I had another Yorkie before that was young.
Oh. Boy.
I don't know which one you're picking up on. They look the same.
Thank God that you're not giving up on dogs, because you're meant to have doggy, 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 you know?
Yes, I think the one that we just adopted is a very special healer dog, and I'm not sure what he's supposed to do, but he's supposed to do something.
Well, you can take him to nursing homes. You could take him to hospitals, hospice. I think he needs to grow up a little bit. Is he little? Is he young?
Yeah, he's still only two, and he's very bouncy, and I'm a little concerned that he goes after people's cuts. He likes to lick your cuts and fix them.
Hey, that's a healer dog. Well, he will calm down, and I would look into, there's programs at all kinds of places where they get them certified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll make a good therapy dog.
I think so, too.
The little one. I'm so sorry for all your loss, but I'm so grateful that you are still opening your home to dogs, because they really are angels, and
absolutely.
You need to have them. You need to have them in your life.
Yes. They're like my furry babies.
Absolutely. Well, we are reaching the end of the hour. But do call in again, especially you, Tanya. I don't feel that I was able to spend enough time with you. And guys, do not be shy. Call in early, 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 because then I can do more readings for you. And by then I won't have a cold, and we hope. And then I can also do card readings for you. And we can talk about your soul odyssey. How would that be? What do you think,
fabulous.
Tanya?
Thank you. I appreciate
Alrighty.
It. Thank you so much for all your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay, this is the end of the hour. Again, my name is Deborah Herman, and I am a mystic medium animal communicator extraordinaire. You can contact me at soul-odyssey.com or through BBS Radio. Good night, everybody. God bless. Have a wonderful week.